Good evening, one and all. Yes, it's that Tuesday and it's time here for another Book and a Chat. And this is one of the Book and Chats that I look forward to every year because my guest has been with us for, I should think about 10 years, 9 years, at least round about that time, a long time. Anyway, every year coming back to us and giving us an update on his latest book, what the next ones are planning, you know, giving away a couple of secrets here and there possibly, and also giving us an update on his hero now of 16 books, so not all have been about this one hero. He's got 20 books, I think he's now. But about, what can I tell you? Say 20 books. His books have been translated into 41 languages, 25 million copies in 52 countries, and obviously a number one bestseller all around the world. Come a long way since being a lawyer. But anyway, better introduce him, haven't I? Because on the show today, we have the one and only Steve Berry. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Good to be back with you.
It's great to have you back on the show. Yes, as I was saying, I mean, from a lawyer to now this sort of, not just a multi, you know, number one bestseller globally, but also a founding member of the Thriller Writers Group and the history thing and stuff like that. So it's not like you're not being kept busy, Steve.
No, I don't have a lack of things to do, let's put it that way.
Right.
We still have our History Matters Foundation that we deal with, and we still have, you're right, I was a founding member of International Thriller Writers, and I was a co-president for 3 years, and then I write the books too.
Right. Not just that, I can now say that I've seen you on TV, because I think it was Beyond Oak Island. Who did they bring in as a specialist of the Golden Circle? But that's Steve Berry, I'm saying. He's on the TV.
They did. They came to the house and filmed me. And filmed me for about an hour. And as you saw, they used about 2 minutes.
Right.
Maybe about a minute of something they said. But it was pretty cool that they came. And that was part of that.
And that's interesting because I know on, I think it's a couple of years ago, we actually were speaking on the show about that very thing of how the Knights Templar have sort of evolved into this Golden Circle or Golden Ring, whatever it is, and you know how the likes of Jesse James and all that, all these people and the amount of gold that might be buried around and everything like that. History just never stops changing, does it?
No, it was right up my alley because I said The Lost Order was my novel.
But yep.
That dealt with all of that, and they had read it, and they wanted to get a take from me. So it was pretty cool. I've watched those shows for a lot of times, and I've seen these folks come on and give these quotes, and now I got to be one of them.
There you go. Yeah, no, I watch a lot of the history, and I mean, Oak Island is finally looking like they're getting somewhere. Now they've realized they've been drilling in the wrong spot. But, you know, but no, it's great to do this and to see, you know, how things go. And your version or your experience into the novels, which they do, from Romanov Prophecy, the Amber Room, of course, you know, whatever happened to that, you know, to that room that sort of disappeared, all the amber walls and everything, and you know, we've talked a lot about all the different things that you've done, but now I'm pleased to say, because last time I think Cotton was he was under the weather a bit and somebody else was taken over, but Cotton is back.
He's back. He's back in this adventure that deals with something very interesting from World War II. I've been wanting to put Cotton into a story that sprang out of World War II. The problem is World War II has been done to death, and
right.
I had to find something fresh, something that people haven't really touched with much, and I did come across that. And I was researching something else a few years ago, and I stumbled onto something from World War II, something that happened in 1944, something that has that could still have ramifications today.
Yep. Yep.
And it all comes out of what happened in the Führer bunker on the night of April 30th, 1945. And this is not a novel about Hitler surviving the war and the Fourth Reich taking over and going all over this. Not about that at all. In fact, Hitler's dead in the novel, and we take that position. But it is a novel about someone else who was in the bunker that night.
Ah.
Someone who escaped and was never officially heard from ever again. And that's Martin Bormann. That was Hitler's personal secretary.
Yep. Yeah.
And Bormann happened to be the person involved with that thing from 1944 that I stumbled across. And so the novel began to take shape, and the Kaiser's web sprang from that. And two people are vying for the chancellorship of Germany. They both know secrets on each other. Those secrets are interconnected, and Cotton Malone and Cassiopeia Witt get caught up in those secrets and move from Germany to South Africa to South America to Austria to Switzerland in chasing these things down, and then ultimately back to Germany for a final confrontation. And it was a fun book. It's interesting. It deals with some very interesting things that I think will shock the reader.
Right. Well, it's interesting because you say it's not about the sort of whatever happened to Hitler, because, you know, I watched that on the History Channel, you know, vehemently sort of, you know, following that and the fact they found this sort of escape route from the bunker to the airport and all this sort of stuff. But yours is not on that, but that's obviously gives credence to it. But the fact it's, yeah, whatever happened to Bormann sort of thing.
What happened to him? Yeah, Martin Bormann just vanished off the face of the earth after April 30th, 1945. And Bormann was in many ways much more dangerous than Hitler. He was much more cunning, much more patient, much smarter, much more devious, completely amoral like Hitler was. And we're very fortunate that he wasn't in charge of Germany, because he could have been a much more formidable adversary than Hitler was. But the fact of the matter is, we have no idea what happened in the bunker. Yeah. We don't have any idea. You know, the most authoritative work on the subject was Trevor Roper's book, written in the late 40s. And he used war prisoners and war criminals for his sources, people who had every incentive to lie and to change the story. And when the Soviet Union fell in the 1990s, we got a hold of documents that contradicted a lot of what Roper had written about. So we truly have no idea what happened in the bunker. Now, I take the position that Hitler and Braun, that, you know, that Hitler is dead and gone. The most authoritative thing on the subject would be that the Soviets found the bodies, dug them up, and took them off and hid them away, because Stalin wanted the West to think Hitler had survived the war. He wanted to keep them off guard, and he wanted them to be on nerve that Hitler may still be out there. And it actually worked. He did a good job of playing that bluff.
Didn't they give up the skull or something in the end, and it was found out to be a woman's?
They found a little bit of a skull cap. It was tested. It was a female's, but it's not Braun's, because it has a bullet hole.
Right.
There's a bullet hole in it, and Braun did not die by the accounts we have of a bullet. She was poisoned.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, you've come across so much of this stuff. What was it? Canary Islands, supposedly neutral. Huge, great submarine pens, you know, all this sort of stuff. Submarines sunk off the coast of South America, and these supersonic planes that could travel over there. It's like all the lost art, you know, all the art that went lost, supposedly train in the tunnel and all that sort of stuff. It's amazing. There's so much still unknown about, not just this, about history in general. I mean, it's, you know, we've talked before about my friend's book about Harold. His second book's actually just come out in America, called Harold 2. But, you know, the only evidence we've got on things like that is what somebody wrote umpteen years later or in the Battle of Hastings, the Boy of Tapestry, you know, with the missing panel sort of thing. It's crazy. And the Second World War, again, you know, it's hearsay, as you said, by people who weren't going to put themselves into trouble.
That's what I look for. I look for things from the past, things that are real, things that have no explanation, that kind of get you to go, wow, or ooh, or that's really, you know, I didn't know that. That's what I look for. That's really where the novels start with me. And I call those the ooh factor of the novel. And I look for that ooh factor of that novel. But then I have to make sure that ooh factor thing that I find from the past is still relevant today, because I write modern day thrillers.
Right.
So that thing still has to matter today. And I call that the so what.
Yeah. That's the big thing, isn't it? There's lots of ooh factors, but it's how you can manipulate into the so what factor.
Well, if it doesn't have a so what, it's just something cool from history.
Right.
It doesn't have much meaning one way or the other. It's neat, it's wonderful, it's interesting, but when you make it relevant today, and in this case, this thing from World War II that I came across is still relevant today and will factor into the German elections and determine the outcome of those elections.
Right.
So there was the so what that I had with it.
That's great. And I know, I think, is this Is this the last one in Europe? Weren't you going to sort of go back, bring cotton back to America?
Not anytime soon. No, no. He's. I took him back in Malta Exchange. I did five American books.
Ah, it's the other way around, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Then Malta, we went overseas, and we're going to stay overseas. I think cotton won't be back to America for a while, if ever.
Right.
I like the international adventures. Now, America will still factor into the stories, but it won't be the overwhelming drive, and there won't be an American theme to the so what or the ooh factor. And so right now I'm pretty good. I'm good through about 2025. So at least
that's
for the next
great.
Years I'm okay.
That's great. Because, you know, poor Cotton's been through it a bit, hasn't he? I hope he's getting a little bit easier run this time, but knowing Cotton, he won't.
Well, this is an interesting book because every novel with Cotton, I explore a different aspect of his personality, something I've never touched on before with him. And in this book, I explored the aspect of his personality of him and Cassiopeia working together as a team, not fighting, not fussing, not at each other's throats, but
wow.
trusting one another, loving one another, and relying on one another. And I've never done that before with them, and it was a lot of fun to have them work as a well-oiled team. And they get the job done, and they save each other's butts on more than one occasion, and they get the job done. It was fun to have them work together like that. So I'll probably do a little more of that. That was it was a great thing to do and not have them at each other's throats.
Right, indeed. The History Matters Foundation, how's that going?
Well, of course, we're shut down in 2021 because we're looking at 22. We'll see if we can do anything in 22. It's possible, but we'll definitely be back in business in 23. And that's our foundation where we go around the country and help folks raise money for historic preservation in their local communities.
Right.
And we've raised about $2.3 million for about 80 different projects around the country. So we'll be back doing that again, certainly by 23, maybe by 22.
I get the impression over the last sort of 10 years, there's definitely been, and you know, obviously with the television stuff, you know, as well, one of the main things, there's definitely been an increase in people looking at historical actions and you know what's gone on previously in America, which I don't think was huge before. Have you seen an increase in that within the
I've seen communities getting more involved in preserving their own local history, and the preservation of history is a local thing. There's no one gonna do this for you. You have to do it yourself locally. And I think the communities are showing a greater appreciation for their things from the past. Our history only dates back, you know, at the most 400 or 500 years. St. Augustine would be the oldest.
Right.
You know, putting it around 450, 500 years ago. So, you know, we have a relatively short history compared to the rest of the world. And, we're doing our best to preserve it, but it's up to the local communities to do it. And we've seen some really good projects and some really good folks going all out to preserve.
I mean, you look back, you mean, you got people sort of say look back, you know, people's American histories, oh, it's only going back to 1400, what have you. And then you see, okay, well, there's walls like the Great Wall of China. There's possibility that Marco Polo came here. There's the Scottish, the Scottish group, and as we know, the Knights Templar and all that sort of stuff. It's a lot longer and it goes back a lot further than people think. And I think, I'm not sure, almost like people are scared to know about it because it's going to muck the whole of the history books that people learn from, but It's actually, a lot of it's sort of starting to come out now, I think.
Well, it's pre-Columbian stuff, pre-Columbus stuff, you know. And no one knows. We know the Vikings made it here. We do know for a fact they made it here in the in somewhere around 9th century, 8th, well, 9th century, somewhere in that neighborhood. But they didn't sustain a settlement. It didn't sustain. It didn't stay. Whether these other groups made it or not is fascinating. There's a lot of stuff about that. It's interesting.
Yep.
It makes for great novels like mine.
Yep.
We may never know, and that's what the fun part is. We may never know, and that's what novelists can have fun with.
I think I read somewhere there's like 10% of all tribes or all historical, you know, things just are known. 90% just aren't known about. And you come across that all the time with, you know, this has been discovered and this has been discovered and, oh, we found that this was this. And I think that it goes to show how little we do know.
Yeah, there's the lost knowledge is fascinating, and lost knowledge is what I thrive on.
Right. Yeah.
But the thing is, the thing that's lost has got to be true in my buffet. I can't make it up, and I can't rely on kind of fringe conspiracy kind of things. I have to kind of have. There's a certain amount of suspension belief in any of my novels. This novel certainly has an element of that, but I have to ground it as close to reality as I possibly can, and I work hard to keep it about 90% to reality.
Indeed. And it works, obviously, really well. I mean, everybody, as I said, with just a look at the number of books you sold, you know, people just really enjoy that sort of thing. And it's not just in this country, because, as I said, sort of 40 or 52 countries. But also, when you've been on before, you, with part of your international thriller writers, you went to the war zones.
I did. I was the first group of thriller writers. There was five of us. The first group of thriller writers that the USO has ever taken over there. And we went over it towards the end of the Iraqi war. And we were still there when the conflict was going on. And we went around to several bases. And we interacted with the troops. And it was remarkable. It was a remarkable 10 days. It was just amazing. And reading was the number one recreational activity over there, was reading. And the bases had libraries, mm-hmm. paperback books, and the number one and two genres there were thrillers and romance.
There you go.
Which is very interesting. They they were full of both, and we interacted with a lot of folks during that time. We talked to a lot of people. We went and saw the troops in action as far as what they were doing and getting things in preparation for war activities they were doing. I never really comprehended what it took to run a war.
Oh, crikey.
It's a big deal to run a war. You need an enormous support structure behind an army that's on the ground there. And so we enjoyed it. They eventually did about three more trips after that.
Oh, really? Great.
We were the first ones to do it, and they did some more. It's called Operation Thriller.
There you
it
go.
It was a great honor to be able to do it.
One thing I've noticed, you know, with the guests that I've had on the show this last few years, is the increase, within thriller stories, of female protagonists. It's almost like people are saying, okay, we've got to make things more equal. And there's a lot now coming into the thriller writing genre with lead females, which I think is great. Have you sort of seen that increase?
I definitely would see that move being in that direction, and I'm glad to see it. I'd like to see more of it, and I'd like to see, you know, female protagonists. I'd like to see male readers discovering those female protagonists and embracing them. And I'd like to see female thriller writers be able to be in the genre and perform at the same level that the males do. I think it'd be great. I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of very good and very big best-selling female thriller writers, but there's also a lot of female thriller writers who suffer from that problem of male readers not wanting to embrace a female protagonist, and I'm hoping that will change.
And I think I have seen a change over the last 2-3 years. I have seen that more people, you know, when you sort of see, I have people on the show, etc., that I'm getting questions from males. It doesn't seem to matter anymore. The character's the character, whether they're male or female.
That's right, and that's the way it should be. That's exactly the way it should
be.
And I'd love for Cassiopeia in my world to have her own series.
That would be great.
Yeah, a lot of fun. We do novellas with her now. MJ Rose and myself have done four novellas with Cassiopeia that are out there. The Museum of Mysteries, The Lake of Learning, The House of Long Ago, and a new one will be coming in July, The End of Forever. So we've explored Cassiopeia in these novellas, but I'd love for her to have her full length novel and her own series. It'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. Cotton needs a rest.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be fun to explore her and to deal with that. I would like to do that. Maybe one day I'll get to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Cotton's injured. She's got to take over and run the thing because he's you know, he got caught, shot, what have you, you know, and he's out of...
Or he's just off doing whatever, and she's doing her thing.
Yeah, two different things. Yeah. Kaiser's Web, your new one, as I said, book 20, Cotton Malone, book 16, and as you were saying, the fact it's stuff that could relate to this modern day, this time, the secrets, etc., like that. Were you able to sort of travel around? I mean, I know you went to South Africa, you said in Europe, because I know you like sort of visiting these places to get the feeling of them. Were you able to travel for this one?
Not this one, no. I've been to Germany many times, so that wasn't a problem. I've been to Switzerland and Austria, but I did not get to go to South America or South Africa. We were supposed to go to South America, and we couldn't get there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did it the old-fashioned way. I talked to people who had been there and who lived there, and I did it for books and things, and then I had those folks look it over when I was done to make sure I got the flavor correct. So
good.
You don't have to go to a place to write about it. It helps to do that. So one day we will visit both of those, but the reader's going to get a good adventure with them in this novel.
Right, indeed. It looks like, you know, looking forward to it. It looks like a great one. Now, when you normally come on, you're the sort of the three stage. You have one just come out. You have normally have one that's just going through the editing, and then just starting on the third one. So this is the one that's just come out. What have you got lined up?
Next year is a little different. I'm switching publishers. I'm going over to Grand Central from Macmillan, and they wanted to start off with a standalone. So I've created a new character next year.
Oh.
The guy's been in my head for several years now, and he works for the United Nations. And I've created a new world. It'd be the same kind of thing. Action, history, secrets, conspiracies, something from the past, something relevant still today. But new motivations and new people and new backgrounds. And it's going to deal with the most stolen and vandalized piece of art in history. And I'm going to let everyone look up and see if they can figure out what that might be. And it'll be a good, it's a great adventure with this new character. And then Cotton will return in 2023 and 2024. And then something else is coming along. I'm going to do a separate series now with Luke Daniels.
Right.
The young fella in my novels, and he's going to get his own series of three books that the great thriller writer Grant Blackwood is going to help me write.
Okay.
We're going to put those out starting in 2023, 24, and 25. So Luke will get a series. Cotton will be back in 23, 24, and then this new character, and if people like him, we'll see if we can bring him back some more.
Any more feelers for films?
We've had a lot of interest. It's optioned right now, and there's a more talk, a lot of talk, as I've always said.
Right.
No checks yet, but a lot of talk. So we'll see how it goes. There's still some discussions on that. Yes.
I and the thing is, you've got such a variety that I know it's all the sort of same sort of thing, the history, the adventure, etc., like that, the thriller stuff. But you have such a variety, covering so many different things. There's something there for everybody, and I think that's part of it.
Yeah, my novels all deal with the trick of writing a series is every one book in the series has to be the same but different.
Right.
So in my case, the same is action, history, secrets, conspiracies. The different part is different history, different thing from the past, different so what, different bad guy. So each one of my books deal with a different part of history, so you can go and look. And that's all on my website, steveberry.org. You can look at each book, see what part of history interests you the most, and start there. There's no requirement that the Cotton Malone books have to be read in order. I write them where you can read them in any order
indeed,
you please.
Sir.
So you can pick up whatever you like, whatever period of history interests you the most.
Indeed so. Well, Steve, as you said, it is time now to hand the show over to you. Obviously, the Kaiser's Web is the newest one, but you know there's 20 books, terrific books, right from the Amber Room, the Romanov Prophecy, the Columbus Affair, as we said, we're talking about Columbus, and Paris Vendetta, Charlemagne. I mean, it's there, the Bishop's Pawn, the Lost Order, 14th Colony. 14th Colony is something that a lot of people are sort of starting to look at as well on that sort of thing. Anyway, I'm going to hand the show over to you, Steve, now. I see to tell everybody, well, you know, like you, people can find out more about you, about your groups, about your books, everything like that.
Yeah, the
Kaiser's Web's out now. It's in all formats, you know, hardcover, download, e, large print, audio, whatever. Whatever you like, it's out there. Check it out. If you like it, check out the others. As I said, everything is at my website, steveberry.org, along with History Matters is there, too. So you can learn all about me and all the books. And give us a try. There's 16 Cop Malones and 4 standalones. Standalones are just that. They're separate and distinct. But they're action, history, secrets, and conspiracies, too. So give me a try.
Well, I'm sure loads of people will, Stephen. It'd be another great smash hit for you. Congratulations on yet another winner there. And with the up and coming, something different, as you said, a sort of new character, let alone Luke coming back with his own series and that. So lots, and Cotton, of course. Can't forget him. lots of new stuff coming over the next few years, Steve. So great congratulations, and perhaps we'll see you next year.
I will. Next June. June will be a summer book next year, so we'll see you then.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and thank you for being a guest.
Okay.
Well, there you go. My guest today, one and only Steve Berry. Always, always a pleasure having him on the show. Always great chatting. We learn something every time he's on. And this new book, The Kaiser's Web, really looking forward to it. It's something I've sort of seen bits about, as you might have heard, but There's always a secret with Steve. He's always found something that we don't know that's relevant to today. And that's the thing. It's not just a history. It's relevant to today. Looking forward to it a lot. Anyway, that's it for now. I'll be back with a fresh guest tomorrow. My guest tomorrow is Dan Holzman. I can tell you that now. There you go. And of course, don't forget, on Sunday, I'm on with my music. Those are the days, music from the 20th century. We're starting on One Hit Wonders this week. And after that, an hour from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern with the Swinging 60s, music from the 60s. Well, that's it. As always, I've just got one thing left to say. Don't forget. Make sure it's working.